Hello, everyone. This is Luc Jean-Louis, the host of the Deep Voice Man Show. Thanks for joining us today. Our guest is Elisa B. Bennett, and she is the founder of E.B. Bennett Media, and she is a LinkedIn lead generation expert. She helps clients create their own custom lead generation system to grow their revenues with less time, money, and effort. She gets her clients leads that they will love, leads that are truly interested in what is being sold, and she gets amazing results for her clients. She helped a career growth coach achieve ROI of 275 times what she had previously had going on in just 1 year, and she helped a consultant go from almost bankruptcy to so many leads and clients he needs to hire a team, and she is so nice and benevolent. We actually spoke on the phone, and she was able to give me great advice free of charge on for my own business venture. So I'm very thankful for that, and she was very gracious to come on the show as a guest, and we are so lucky and blessed that she was able to carve out some time in her packed schedule to sit down and have a chat with us. So thank you so much for coming on. And I guess to start off, can you talk to us about your background and how you first gravitated towards doing what you do today?
Sure. Thanks for the kind intro, Luke. That was very sweet of you. So my background is sales. Sales and marketing. In college, I was an organizational communications marketing major. And all my life, since the fifth grade, I've been winning sales contests, selling candy bars, getting the girls together so that we could 2X our numbers. That all the way back to being 11 years old. So right out of college, I got a job with IBM, which is the very best sales job you can get in the perspective of the lead. So what that looked like is I was in the San Francisco Bay Area, and I had some awesome clients like Wells Fargo, Bank of America, State of California. These clients expected you to show up at a desk they would provide for you to help them spend their money. So very best source of leads you can imagine. And all the way to the worst source of leads you can imagine, I was in an inside sales position at one point where people were saying, the worst thing I ever heard was stick a corn cob up here, and I'm not going to finish that sentence.
Oh.
But that was hilarious.
That's crazy.
Back when I was into organics, my supervisor said, as long as it's certified organic, sir. So we had a good chuckle about that. So best and worst case scenario in leads, that's basically been my life, right? So I was also in the salon industry. Are you familiar with Paul Mitchell Hair Care Products?
I'm not too familiar with him, I'm afraid. So he sells hair products that are best-selling?
Maybe you've heard of Patron Tequila. There's a billionaire. His name is Jean-Paul DeJoria. And he's co-owners with Paul Mitchell System. That was his first brand that he was a part of launching. Paul Mitchell passed away about 30 years ago, and his son, Angus, owns half the company. So most people in the United States are familiar with the Paul Mitchell hair care brand, and so it's a billion-dollar salon brand. Angus, being a trust fund person, he decided to launch his salon brand in Beverly Hills, you know, for fun, and asked me to help him launch it. So it was a lot of fun, and that was when I cracked my teeth on online marketing. I dropped an ad, and 12 hours later, we sold out of 417 salon seats. So, yeah, lots of fun. That was when I got, you know, started to get addicted to, I mean, I certainly understood the numbers. It's not a matter of people just walking by your storefront, but that you could push people to see you when you can increase the numbers online, right? That was in 2008. Then Angus got bored with the salon, and he decided to launch his car museum showcase thing. But my passion and my heart's in business development. So that was my freedom move where I launched my marketing agency. So my marketing agency, initially, I started to build it with email leads, which, don't get me wrong, email leads are fantastic. And I do recommend that everybody build their list of leads, because that's something that you own, and you can, whatever place you're generating leads from, even if it's a storefront, things like Domino's Pizza, they, you know, they developed an app, they push people to their email, and they massively increased their numbers, Domino's Pizza did, with an email list. Well, how do you get those people to opt into that sort of thing? So for people that are doing service-based or networking-based, or, you know, used to knock on doors before COVID, I found that something just told me LinkedIn. The second I dipped my toe into the LinkedIn water, I just had a knack for it, and I had to actually turn my email leads off at that point because it was more than I could handle. Those conversations were, the first conversation was like the fourth or fifth email conversation, where you think of the very best leads, IBM, the very worst leads, cold calling, right? The email's about in the middle, but a LinkedIn conversation is as close as you can possibly get to that dream IBM, tell me how to spend my money.
Wow.
People know who you are. They know what it's about. As long as you've got your act together, right? You can't just have a LinkedIn page that has no banner, has no picture, you know, says 5 million different things about 5 million different opportunities that you're working on. If there's a clearly defined way that you help people on your LinkedIn page and a thoughtful message when you reach out to someone, they get it. These people are on the platform. Their value, if you think, if you compare the value of a lead on Facebook, let's say. Facebook, the value of a lead there is $20,000. That's their on average revenue. On LinkedIn, and, oh, by the way, our topic is relationships on Facebook. On LinkedIn, the whole point is business, right? So we're already in a business frame of mind on that platform. Then secondarily, those leads, their overall average value is $75,000 and above. So depending on your market, and that's the thing, is figuring out which market is the right one for you, which place. Like, you might love TikTok. Okay, great. Go perfect TikTok. Make a bundle on that. And then get your second source of leads, but keep pushing those leads back to the email platform. So I've just had so much incredible experience organically helping people to launch their brands and grow that budget so that they can get that second source of leads, which is so important. Because if you're standing, if you're building your empire off of one source of leads, that's a very dangerous bed of quicksand. Think about people, I think it was 2008 that Google first changed the algorithm, and right? We hear about, what's the algorithm? The algorithm, what it is it's the logic of who's getting seen and noticed. Right now, there's not a ton of people creating content on LinkedIn. It's a little bit of a desert. So if you get your act together over there, you're going to get massively seen. In, let's say, 2008 and before, if anybody had a website, they were at the top of the page getting all the business.
Right.
So the algorithm changes. These pages get pushed to the bottom. Seven-figure businesses wiped out.
Wow.
They thought this was going to be here forever. And no source of leads is ever going to be the same forever. It doesn't matter what you're doing. It can be email. It can be, you know, mailers, sending actual physical mail out. It can be cold calling. I was with an agency that was cold calling, and that was the only way that they could generate leads, and it had to go through a dialer. Well, press one to get connected with an automated message in the beginning. That it goes against the rules of how you're supposed to do it. So that business was generating about 400, it was increasing their income 400K monthly with that one source of leads. And when they were no longer able to use that source of leads from a legal perspective, that whole business got wiped out. So the entire point right now is LinkedIn's in its gold rush. So if it feels like the right platform for people, I'm helping them get their act together very quickly, build up their lead generation, their income, so that they can then start to secure their future with a solid list of leads that they can then take the additional income and support themselves with, not just, I mean, think about it this way. If you're standing on one leg and that leg gets kicked out from under, like we've all seen with COVID, what happens? You're on your butt. So let's throw another leg. And hey, how about having three legs? Three legs is a much better position than two legs and then one leg. So right now the conversations are just so rich and ripe on LinkedIn that I was a full service agency helping people in all these different areas. Right now I have to help as many people as I can on LinkedIn because it's the best source of leads that are generating these very best conversations, so that people don't have to be that person that was almost bankrupt that I helped to generate some of the leads. That person was cold calling. They were spending their entire day cold calling. Well, what if you have this system where people are reaching out to you and you're having these much better conversations? So it's helping people that don't have a huge budget, don't have a ton of time, or maybe they do have a budget, but they just want to have better conversations quicker. That's what's happening on LinkedIn right now. So helping as many people see that day as possible.
That's incredible. And it's interesting that, and thank you for that answer, that you talk of LinkedIn as being a gold rush, as being maybe one of the top, if not the premier, sources of leads and whatnot, and you help folks with that, and that's amazing. And it doesn't cost a whole lot of money, as opposed to other ways to market. But you mentioned the importance of, you know, getting your act together. So you have to have the profile set up the right way, the banner, the headline, the photo, and whatnot, and describe yourself and what you do very well, and whatnot. And I'm sure you go over all this with your clients in detail. So that's amazing. And LinkedIn, it's interesting because LinkedIn's a very underutilized platform. You know, most people go on Facebook and Instagram. Now it's TikTok, and Clubhouse is a new one. And with LinkedIn, sort of, LinkedIn sort of gets overlooked. And why it gets overlooked, I'm not really sure. But you mentioned before that on Facebook, the average cost of a lead whatnot is 20-something K, but for LinkedIn, if I remember correctly, you said it's like 75K.
75K is the value of the income on average of the person on that platform.
Wow, that's amazing.
And
that's incredible.
When people are generating leads on Facebook, the way that you have to follow up with those leads is different. First of all, you cannot get the organic lead generation on Facebook is not as easy as on LinkedIn.
Mm-hmm.
People are doing
it.
They're starting to do it more and more. But generally speaking, what you're doing is you're spending thousands of dollars with a marketing agency and via ad spend. And if you get something really cheap, you might just be throwing your money away, because you need to spend enough money for somebody to get the messaging and the targeting right. All online marketing is two things. It's targeting and it's messaging. So if on the Facebook platform, you can think of it as having had a head start to LinkedIn, what that means is the algorithms have changed again, where let's say 2013, you could post something on a Facebook page, on a Facebook business page, and you would get seen and noticed. Right now, you have to boost a post for your grandma to see something on a Facebook page.
Wow.
Right? So you have to spend money. The other thing that's happening is when someone opts into a Facebook ad, let's say, and you follow up with them, if you're not following up within the first 5 minutes, they already forgot who you are and what this is about.
Wow.
Because people are just click, 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 right?
Right.
But if you're on a LinkedIn strategy, it's more like networking. It's kind of like if people are familiar with going to D&I, some sort of chamber of commerce meeting, things like that. People are understanding we're already talking about business. They've responded to a conversation with an individual versus an ad. People like to do business with people, not with businesses. So it's a much less labor-intensive follow-up strategy. If you think about a Facebook strategy, let's say I would recommend you spend $5,000 to $7,000 a month to get something up and running that in 3 months might be generating results that you're happy with. In the meantime, you need to have a budget for those leads to be followed up with right away. So not just to generate that lead, but you need some sort of a system that's texting, calling, emailing, boom, as soon as they opt in, and then somebody call, follow up. And still, you know, always it's a numbers game. So if you don't have all those things in place, your leads, they get cold. If you don't follow up with a lead within the first day, your lead, no matter where it's from, is going to drop conversion by 50%. So timeliness is super important, but those conversations are a little bit more sticky on LinkedIn.
Okay. That's amazing. And thank you for sharing that. So obviously with LinkedIn, it's not as labor intensive, so to speak.
Right.
It's interesting. And with Facebook, they tend to forget about you if you don't move on it very quickly. And
well, sure. What are you doing? You're click all over the place on Facebook.
Right.
And it's, you know, you're looking at this dog video and this food recipe thing and click. Yeah, I want this. And then by the time they follow up with you, I used to help people with Facebook ads, but literally I would have these incredible, phenomenal lead generation systems that people couldn't follow up with leads. So it wasn't that there wasn't value and there weren't people coming in, but do you have all day to be following up with your leads? That's another thing. You really, leads do not create a business. You have to have the business in place first. You have to have the idea of how you help people and preferably have closed at least one of them. And then do you want to be just watching and waiting for those Facebook ads to come in because they're going to be super cold if you don't follow up right away?
Right.
Does the Facebook agency that's put that in place have a whole system and structure that automatically follows up with all of these leads? If not, who knows how many you're going to be able to convert or will remember you by the time you get around to it.
So yeah, it's interesting how they say the fortune's in the follow-up. And in this case, you really have to pay a fortune to follow up. And it's curious. So you had described, I think, LinkedIn is somewhat as the best source of leads as of right now. And I can't argue with that. You know, these are people who go on the platform and they already have that business frame of mind, like you just mentioned. And, and you know, I'm learning a lot of new things from you. I'm like a student, and you're like the teacher. And you talked about you talked about there's two things that you do with online marketing, targeting and messaging.
Right.
It's great when you could break it down and make it simple for folks and whatnot. And so, again, thank you so much for all this helpful information. And I'm curious now. Obviously, you've been helping folks. You've been doing this for a while now with LinkedIn, and we all got hit with the pandemic and whatnot.
Yeah.
I'm curious. How would you describe the current state of affairs right now? Like, what challenges has the pandemic posed?
Well, when it first hit, I was noticing that people were just completely losing their mind, and if you're generating leads, you need to not be in a state of panic. You need to get your mindset right, or else you're going to chase those leads away. So if you think about that client that I have, the one that was almost bankrupt, and then, you know, we flipped it around, and basically this person has written multiple articles and posts about me, spoke about me at his Thanksgiving dinner, how grateful he was. But that is absolutely not a client I ever would have accepted if I had known his situation, because I know how important mindset is. So what happens in a situation like that where you're completely losing your mind you get, think about it, you're generating these conversations and you get on that phone call. Do you think you're going to take the time to qualify that person in the way that you would if everything was going great
right.
in your life? You're going to completely freak them out and scare them away. So you can
right.
generate all the phenomenal leads in the world, but if you get on that call, people are in a state of qualifying you, and they're in a state of figuring out if they know, like, and trust you.
Mm.
And if they smell something a little bit off, they shouldn't
right.
be doing business with you. If you don't have it together, if you don't realize that you're going to absolutely help this person, and they smell something that's just a little bit fishy, they're going to take a pass. So you can generate the very best leads all day long. But like I say, you know, it's completely unethical, and I refuse to sell a Ferrari to a baby who can't drive.
Wow.
A billionaire baby with a driver, right? It's
mm.
so you got to get your act together. And what that act together means is that you're not going out there and purchasing a source of leads because you want those leads to generate money for you. You have to
mm-hmm.
be helping people already. You have to have a solution and clients that are happy with how you help them. Once that happens, if you've been able to scrape and scratch to get that one client on your own, even if it's
mm-hmm.
for free, and they're giving you a testimonial, that tells you that if you
mm-hmm.
send more people through this process, you're simply going to get more of that. That's what
right.
leads do, and that's what I do for people, is give them more of what they already have. Leads do not create a business for people, and I think a lot of people
mm-hmm.
get confused about that. So as long as
right.
you've had some wins where you can take someone through the process of helping them, of finding them, of closing
mm-hmm.
them, all of those things are the green light that, okay, now it's time to scale up with a source of leads where you can do more
mm-hmm.
of that quickly.
Wow.
Some people
That's
get confused
amazing.
About
That's...
that part.
No, I think I totally understand. You talked about how, you know, obviously you don't want to be in a state of panic, and that probably is what, you know, the pandemic probably put a lot of people in that state, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And you can't really operate effectively that way and grow
no.
your business. And because what happens is you have this kind of desperate frame of mind, and clients and leads can smell it and be turned off. No one likes that desperation, you know,
mm-hmm.
and whether it's business or dating, no one likes the you know, the smell of desperation. And
exactly. That's a good comparison, dating is. You think of dating and lead generation as the same thing, right? You're not
mm-hmm.
going to walk up to somebody at the bar and say, hey, let's get married.
Right.
Right? And so nobody wants you coming out to them and saying, hey, let me give you the solution. How about you get to know
right.
me first and know what my needs are first? Because if you're
right.
that desperate to get married to someone you don't know in a relationship perspective or a solution helping them perspective, then you don't have your act together, and they know that subliminally.
Mm.
If they're,
right.
you know, I
right.
mean, it's not hard to figure out.
Right. Right. And a lot of people are turned off by desperation and the pushy
mm-hmm.
sales
mm-hmm.
tactics. And I think, you know, maybe it worked in the past. I don't know, being pushy, but it certainly doesn't work now. And so many people can research and find out what's going on and see that perhaps you don't have your act together, obviously. And so thank you so much for that great advice. Now, I've been using
mm-hmm.
LinkedIn myself to
mm-hmm.
reach out to folks. I ran
mm-hmm.
into a little bit of an issue with LinkedIn's invitation limit.
Okay.
If it's something you can speak to, is that something that's a big problem? Let's say LinkedIn changes its rules, perhaps, or with the current rules they have now, is there any kind of issue?
Their pay-to-play model is extremely cost-effective, and what that
mm.
looks like is Sales Navigator, which is $79 a month for an individual subscription, and if you have team members, there's a team license that's $129 a month per account
mm-hmm.
where the team as a whole will not cross market. So for instance, you and I are on the same team. We're not constantly sending Janice a message that's the same message.
Right.
So that's what a team account will do. There's a limit to how many you can do for free, but you can reach out to people for free on LinkedIn. And there's something called InMail, which is a capital I-N, capital M-A-I-L. And what that is a way that you can reach out to somebody who you're not connected to, and you get a certain number of those for free as well with a Sales Navigator subscription. My clients all use Sales Navigator because they want to reach out to more people, but you need to be very, very careful. A connection and messaging strategy, it includes with it the ability for someone to say, I don't know you. The platform, now the reason why you were saying, I don't know why people aren't on LinkedIn as much. Well, the platform started as a job search platform, right? And that's the reason why so many people are setting up their LinkedIn page wrong, and why I created a free 7-day trial of the first 5 steps of my system, which if you go to Elisa, it's E-L-I-S-A, B as in boy, and then Bennett, B-E-N-N-E-T-T.com. There's a pop-up you can opt into that, and it's good for any platform that you're on to get your messaging right. So making sure that you're speaking from the perspective of your LinkedIn page of how do you help people is that process that I take you through that will help you with 50% of all the money you generate doing any messaging on any platform. It's what's your messaging, right? There's your words, your copy, and then there's your targeting. So Sales Navigator is the targeting piece. If you just pay a couple more dollars, $79 a month. For me, I've created multiple 6 figures for my business from that $79 a month addition to my business. So I wouldn't recommend that anybody get it without a strategy, though. You can get it for free for 30 days, and then you just want to be super careful that all of your messaging is very dialed in, that it's very clear how you help people on your LinkedIn page, very clear from your connection and messaging that's going out, that you took the time to actually look at people's profile and consider them and their situation before you send the message out. Because if you don't do that, and even if you do all of those things, some people are going to say, I don't know you. Originally, the platform was set up as you were only allowed to connect to people that you knew. Now the rules are don't reach out to anybody for the purposes of a personal romantic relationship, which is funny. I found that recently. I didn't realize we weren't allowed to date on LinkedIn. The second is don't use any automation. And the third is don't let anybody access your LinkedIn account.
Okay.
So now we've got all of these things perfect. We've got our LinkedIn page set up perfectly. We've got our connection and messaging strategy set up perfectly. Now we decide, oh, I'm just going to chance it and use some automation tool. Well, if that automation tool is what's known as an extension, which means that it sits on your browser, you have to click it, and it means also that you didn't type in an address like, you know, www.x. whatever the address is, that if you type in an address that's in the cloud and considered, quote, air quotes, safer, that doesn't mean you're totally safe, though. But those tools out there, for sure, if you're using an extension, LinkedIn can see that for sure. If you have an assistant that's logging into your account, if anyone has your login identification, that is able to be seen by LinkedIn. And I've taught marketing agencies how to do this as a service. They're charging for 1/3 of what I do with a one-time investment.
Right.
They're charging $1,500 to $3,000 monthly. So you're looking at $20,000 to $60,000 annually.
Wow.
And I'm telling these agencies, listen, guys, you know, just like all those people were at the top of LinkedIn getting all the money in 7 figures, well, they're thinking to themselves, it's always been this way. It's always going to be that way. But the only thing that's really consistent is that things are going to change. So when a marketing agency I had this group of people, and I'll get on the phone with marketing agencies all the time when they're trying to pitch me because they're not doing their system right, right? They should know that I'm a LinkedIn agency person. So I'm like, yeah, sure, I'll talk to you. And then I find out that they've got all of their clients, they're accessing them from one computer, and they've been in business for 6 months, let's say, and they'll say something like, well, we haven't had problems before. And just like, okay, so there's a guy back when Microsoft purchased LinkedIn, and this gentleman, he had a LinkedIn agency, and he had a bunch of LinkedIn clients, and guess where he was positioned on Google? He was the first search.
Wow.
And he was like, ha, 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 I'm at the top of the search when you type in LinkedIn. And LinkedIn's trying to sell LinkedIn to Microsoft. So what do you think they did? This person that was not quite brilliant also was accessing all of his clients' accounts from the same IP. So LinkedIn took all of his clients and totally took all of their accounts offline.
Wow.
All those businesses were gone. So, yeah, you've never had any problems before, so you don't think you ever will. Good luck with that. And if you do decide to use an agency or you do decide to use a tool that goes against LinkedIn's terms of service, I mean, that's fine. And if you don't mind burning through your account and it not being there, that's fine too. Another option would maybe be to have a partner in air quotes or an assistant in air quotes that you decide to burn through their account and then transfer those leads to you could be another option. I mean, there's a lot of ways to do things, but excessive use of the platform. I had an agency who, this is the danger of getting a little bit of information or people thinking that they're your friend, so naturally they're going to get all of your education without being part of the program. This person, she just got a little bit of information from me, and so then she started profile viewing 400 times a day. She got hurt. She's a major, major brand, and she got completely wiped off of LinkedIn for excessive use. So the excessive use can also be connection and messaging. The tools out there are recommending 100 messages a day. My recommendation, I dropped it to 50 after the pandemic started because everybody got on the platform with horrible messaging. So people started to not be as receptive and responsive because of all these lazy marketers. So then I dropped it to 25. So now we've got our clients in a very safe zone of 25 connection and messages with a 25 premium to premium free email strategy. So that brings you back up to 50. But the things like that that are changing, it is an organic situation, pun intended. We're not paying ad spend fees that we would pay on a Facebook platform, but it's also a moving, living, breathing being, just like those people on Google. You've got to be dialed in and connected to somebody who is obsessed with the platform, up on everything, seeing the changes as they happen, and helping you to pivot. You know, when something like COVID happens, those people that were able to pivot right away, those guys are doing great. So trusting a tool is not the best place to get all of your information because if you think about it, they're already building a strategy that goes against the terms of service. So those guys are going to be a little bit dangerous anyway, right? It's just logical. It's just logical. And it's not that I think tools are bad. I think tools are great. And I can't believe that LinkedIn doesn't allow people to use automation. I think that they're going to eventually go that way lightly. I know that I'm seeing HubSpot links into LinkedIn. And so also it being Microsoft, you know that it's going, that strategy is going to evolve. And if we can think all the way back to the fact that you were not literally allowed to connect with anyone you didn't know when the platform started. We know that there's going to be adjustments and changes. You just always want to be protecting your business and your brand as much as possible.
Wow. And thank you so much for that. There was a lot to digest there, and this is obviously going to be an episode. Yeah, and I appreciate it. I definitely appreciate it. This is an episode I'll be listening and re-listening to, and I think so will others. Thank God it's being recorded as an episode. the great thing, because I'm writing notes furiously as you're talking, by the way.
Awesome.
So the thing is, so you talked about the rules. Now, obviously, LinkedIn has been evolving because originally
yes.
it was a job search platform.
Right.
And
right.
the way people used it is, right, you know, they just put their resume on there and their
right.
their headline was just their name and their title, or some people just say, I'm looking for work. But now it's totally
exactly.
changed. And I think, and LinkedIn knows that. It's become a large, big networking event online.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Like
world's best networking. I think so. I agree. Yeah, on steroids. Absolutely.
Yeah. And so LinkedIn sort of understands that, and they've obviously made changes. Before, it was impossible to connect with anyone you didn't know. Now, obviously,
mm-hmm.
LinkedIn kind of peeled back, you know, that, and obviously they're going to continue to make these changes. And you said before, and thank you for explaining the rules of LinkedIn. By the way, I didn't know that romance was not allowed, but
I didn't either. I
so.
Saw that. I know. All these princes that are going to marry me, it's so sad. They can't anymore on LinkedIn. Yeah, so I don't know where I wish I had captured it, but it
yeah.
said that you're not allowed to approach someone on the platform for the purposes of a romantic nature. So, yeah, interesting.
Wow, yeah. Then that's also been an issue with in-person networking, offline in-person networking. But I'm glad they actually have that rule, because I think I've heard a lot of women complain about this when they go out networking. So I think it's a great rule to have. And you mentioned how they don't allow automation. And this, you think that might change in the future. We'll just have to wait and see.
Well, this is the deal. Every platform, it's their job to keep people on the platform.
Mm-hmm.
So LinkedIn considers the data to be its data. The courts
mm-hmm.
have determined that it is not. If you or I put our contact information on the platform, we decide
mm-hmm.
if it's public or not. LinkedIn does not own that data. It's not their property. But what they are saying is that if somebody comes onto the platform and scrapes the data,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. that's misuse of the platform, right?
Okay. Mm.
Yeah. So what they're trying to do is make that, first of all, not to be taken advantage of. If somebody is scraping
mm-hmm.
10,000 leads off the platform, that's something totally
mm.
different, where they
mm.
could be charging thousands and thousands of dollars for people that want that kind of data. They're scraping it for free.
Mm.
That would be where an automation tool would be a no-no that I would agree with.
Mm.
What I disagree with is the fact that the platform is a complete mess. It is a complete mess, and that's what I love and also hate about it. What I love about it being
mm.
a complete mess is that you lose leads all the time in their inbox, and
mm.
they have a sales navigator in-mail box, which is totally
mm.
separate from your inbox. Now, I've complained
mm.
to them when they were asking me questions to get their tool better, and I've said
mm.
it's just ridiculous. And so for some people, just having some sort of automation tool that's not doing
mm-hmm.
anything other than allowing them not to lose their conversations,
mm-hmm.
that makes sense, because they don't
mm-hmm.
have their act together over there. They're just trying to figure it out. And they roll
mm-hmm.
things out. But what's great about them not having their act together is it scares people away. You're in my competitor.
Mm-hmm.
They can't handle it. What's going on? This is
mm-hmm.
stressful. Okay, go
You're
over
right.
and do your TikTok videos then, or go over to Clubhouse. Everybody's loving the Clubhouse chat. Let them go. Let people go to the place where they feel comfortable. And
mm-hmm.
if you have an affinity for a platform, go all in on that platform until it starts generating results that can help you to afford somebody to help you on that second platform, that second source of leads.
Okay, definitely. And it's amazing that you stay on top of it. And so this, you know, you're able to help your clients and give them up to date information on LinkedIn. And I love how you said it's a mess. But it comes with some good and some bad. It weeds out a lot of the people who can't handle it and whatnot. So kind of gets rid of some of the competition. And you mentioned before that there's obviously some limits. You can only do, if I heard you correctly, 100 connection requests a day. But to stay on the safe side, you push it down to 50, and then I think 25, and then 25 additional in mail, right?
Twenty,
But it's
yeah,
100 a day.
25 is what I'm recommending to clients. If you do what the tools are recommending, which is 100, which if I'm a tool, I want you to be happy. So send out 100 of your horrible messages, because I know you didn't spend any money on a copywriter, is what this tool is thinking to itself, right? I want your money. I want your 25, your 50, your 100, $200 a month. So send as many messages as you can out, and hopefully some of them will work. Fingers crossed are what these tools are thinking. Now, what these tools are doing, because they're not supporting people in best practices with marketing, which is the targeting and the messaging, those tools that are telling people to send out 100 messages a day, those accounts are getting suspended from connection and messaging strategy in 6 to 12 months. Those tools don't care. They got your money for 6 to 12 months. That's about all they care about. Also, technology is new. These strategies are new. Most of the tools are fairly new. They don't even understand their business model. A lot of times, that these clients that they bring on are not going to be lifetime clients. They're burning through these people's accounts, and they don't even realize it in some cases. So, an in-mail strategy, what that would look like is when you have Sales Navigator and someone else has Sales Navigator, that's considered a premium-to-premium free in-mail. You can pay for in-mails too, which you'll get a certain number of message options that way. But if step one, you've got your LinkedIn page dialed in perfectly, which you can do for free with that option that I mentioned, at elisabennett.com, and you've number two, have your messaging dialed in. You've tested it out manually with a couple of people and dialed that in. You've listened to them. You've adjusted it based on what they're saying. You're looking at people's profiles and hopefully not using automation, because if you are using automation without the help of somebody who knows what they're doing with marketing, you're going to burn through your account. You just are. So you're sending out these manual messages, which, by the way, always convert better. If you take the time to look at somebody's page, consider them as a human, whatever they set mentioned on their page, right? People want to feel like you care about them. So how about if you do that? And so, care about what you're putting on your page, so that then when that person does connect with you, your LinkedIn page is soft pitching to their entire network. My clients, they generate. I've got a client marketing agency who is doing $3,000 monthly contracts. After we redid his page, he started to attract loyal clients. He closed a $550,000 5-year deal with 20% of a $20 million annual revenue agency. So that happened because his LinkedIn page was dialed in right. So if you've got your link pages dialed in well, it's working in the background, it's generating conversions based on a human that looks at it that says, oh, I want to reach out and have a conversation with this person. So that when you're reaching out and you're connecting to people, your LinkedIn page becomes visible to their entire network. Once you guys connect, now you can be seen. The way that the platform is set up is you only have access to, you and I, we're connected on LinkedIn, we're first-degree connections. Our mutual connections that you and I are both not connected to are our second-degree connections. All of their connections that we're both not connected to are our third-degree connections. Brick wall, you don't have access to anything else. So now you go out and thoughtfully connect and message someone, and then they say yes to that connection and agree to connect, then you now become visible to their entire network. So when that LinkedIn page is dialed in really well, that's when conversions start to happen in addition to your connection and messaging strategy. That's why you don't want to be lazy. When the platform is working so brilliantly right now, My goal is to get people to dial in as much as they can off of one platform,
right.
with content creation as well. You can think of content creation kind of like, if you think of an email strategy, someone opts in and you get back in front, so you're top of mind until they're ready to converge. That's what a content strategy does. So you and I connect, then I create content. Now I'm getting back in front of you. I'm staying top of mind. I'm engaging on your content. I'm engaging on ideal client's content or content where your ideal client is going to show up. If your LinkedIn page is dialed in, everybody's noticing and seeing how you help people, then from that whole audience that gets to see you when you're doing that, which, reminder, LinkedIn is hungry for content creators right now. So you don't have to boost posts like you'd have to on Facebook just to get seen. Now you're getting people that are reaching out to you in those respective networks that are asking you to connect, interested in hearing about what you have to say and how you have to help people.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for that incredible answer. You talked about the importance of having a dialed-in profile, so when people go in there, it can help to convert, which is amazing. It's something that works for you 24/7, and I think that's incredible. And you talked about the importance of, obviously, content creation is about staying top of mind. So when they decide to use you, you mentioned they convert. And you talked about how, the LinkedIn sort of knows that some people, they just want to take their money probably for 6 or 12 months, and afterwards they'll probably get a restricted account or account that's suspended. And I'm curious, and you talked about the dangers of automation and whatnot. When it comes to giving out these connection requests day by day, do you also have to rotate in each day with withdraw requests that don't go anywhere? Let's say there are 7 days.
Oh, that's another limit to be careful with. So now keep in mind, since COVID, a lot of horrible marketers have gotten onto the platform. And what I mean by that is people that are lazy with their messaging and their targeting. And then they're just spraying these horrible messages out. They're not considering the people that they're reaching out to. So what's happened is, before it was 3,000 outstanding connection requests that would close the door to you being able to connect and message people. Then it was brought down to 1,000. We're now recommending no more than 500. 500 or 21 days worth of outstanding connection and message requests, because statistically 80% of people are going to agree to connect within that first 3 weeks. So anything more than that, you don't need. What you don't want to do is look like a bad marketer on LinkedIn. LinkedIn's job, all the platform's jobs are to keep people on that platform. So if you're out there spraying and praying and lazy marketing and your messaging's not dialed in and you're just sending everyone the message and, oh, a nail salon got it, but really, a marketing agency is my ideal client because you're lazy. When you're doing that kind of stuff, those people are not going to connect with you. They're going to click the I don't know you button, which there's a certain mysterious number of those that gets the door shut to the strategy also. So you really do want to take care with your main profile. Again, if you want to just do some horrible marketing and test it out for fun on some other platform, then that person doesn't mind if their page gets taken away. That's one thing, which I don't recommend, but I certainly wouldn't recommend on your main page for you just to be doing some horrible stuff and just doing anything that anybody recommends, any old tool, any old whatever.
Right. So you don't recommend the withdrawal strategy after a couple of days of connection requests.
What were you going to say? Legitimate what?
No, I'm sorry. Do you recommend legitimate connection requests where you know the person and you mentioned something in connection requests that appeal to you, generally appeal to you, so to speak?
I'm getting confused now. For sure, you want to connect with people you know.
Right. But so I'm saying you don't recommend the whole idea of, you know, giving people messages and then after a couple of days withdrawing the request. You
Absolutely,
recommend
I do.
giving out. Oh, you do. Oh, you do. Okay. So you do recommend
Yes.
withdrawing requests after if they
Yes.
don't respond after, let's say, 6-7 days. So you can't. So
No.
that is okay. Okay.
No, I don't. I do
Okay.
recommend you withdrawing the request after 20, 21 days.
Right.
Or another number for people, because sometimes the number of days, maybe it's not the best fit, but maybe it's 500. So for those people that are doing excessive outreach, which also I don't recommend, but let's say that the safety numbers, depending on what someone's doing, some people don't want to be as you or I might want to be, right? If I
Right.
get in the car, I am not turning that car on until everybody's seatbelt is on.
Right.
So I'm super, super safe. So for me, what my recommendation is after 3 weeks, go ahead and remove those connection requests because statistically, people are going to 80% of the time, they're going to say yes to connecting. They're going to accept the connection within 3 weeks. So 20, 21 days is 3 weeks. You're only losing 20% of those connections anyway, so ditch them, get rid of them. Don't show up to LinkedIn with 3,000 outstanding connection requests and basically prove to them that nobody likes you. If you have 3,000 outstanding connection requests, that's making a statement.
Yeah.
You're doing some
Right.
lazy marketing, people don't like you, excessive use of the platform, yada, yada.
Okay. So you recommend withdrawing after roughly 3 weeks or 21 days, and within 80% of folks would accept it, obviously, during that time period. So 21 days is a sweet spot. And then, okay, definitely. All right. Wonderful advice, by the way. Now, you had said something that I found amazing. You talked about how if you stand on one leg and that leg gets knocked out from you, you'd be in a lot of trouble, right? So, and not to have a one, I guess, one, not to be a one-trick pony or a one-lead strategy. So, were you referring to not just relying on LinkedIn alone for leads?
Absolutely.
But,
Yes,
right.
you do not ever, ever, ever want to be. My background, when I was working with IBM, I worked in an area called availability services. And what that is it's making sure that a business's computers stay up and alive. If your entire business is housed in, let's say, New York City, and I don't know, let's say the whole Manhattan floods, and all your servers go down. You just lost your entire business if you didn't have a satellite server system, and let's say in Texas or offshore somewhere, right? My again, with you don't want to have one source of leads, you don't want to have your data just in one place either, is what availability services is all about. Let's make sure that
Right.
there's some sort of a safety net. There's businesses that I've heard of selling, they had $1 million annual revenue stream. The two partners decided to dissolve the company, and when that happened, their list of leads disappeared. Why in the world would they not have that backed up someplace?
Right.
So you've got that email list that I'm recommending that everybody build and grow for themselves because they own that. If you're on any social platform, you don't own that. It's rented sand. What's working well to generate your list for you right now that you then own, that you then back up in multiple places? Let's say you and I are doing all the best things. We started out on LinkedIn or wherever. We're building our email list. But we only have it on Google Drive. Now, let's say
Right.
our second source of leads, we go to YouTube and become a YouTube star. We keep building that list on our Google Drive. All of a sudden, YouTube decides that we've mentioned the pandemic, so they take us off YouTube. Well, guess what just
Wow.
happened? They also closed down our Gmail. I've heard of a client, he had a 10-year business on Gmail, all these back and forth conversations. They took him off of YouTube. They closed down his Gmail, closed down his Google Doc. Whole
Oh
business
my
just wiped
God.
out. Back
Wow, that's
it up. Just
crazy.
back it up. Let's back it up in
Wow.
multiple places and let's save it. That's all. It's just that people think that this is how it's always been, this is the way it's always going to be. It's not. It's absolutely for sure going to change. Look at Facebook 10 years ago. You could post anything and everyone saw you. Same thing with Google 10 years ago. You were at the top of the page getting all the money. Now we're looking at LinkedIn, we're looking at TikTok and Clubhouse. They're hot right now, right? So depending on what works best for us, it's hot. Instagram's getting kind of saturated where you have to pay to play massively, right? We've got to do ad spins and all these other things. We have to work so much harder on those platforms. All the platforms move to monetization. Their goal, their job is to make more and more money. So our job is to build and build and build and protect our list. That's all. We just have to realize what's the environment, where are we at, what are we doing, what can we trust, and we can trust that for sure all sources of leads will change. Get on one, perfect it, get a team behind you that can help you grow and stay solid on that platform while you then take the extra revenue to build your source of leads on an alternate platform. My recommendation is to go organic for as many as you can, meaning that you're not spending on ads until you've saturated all the organic sources of leads that you can. So for me, that means LinkedIn, because it's the best premium conversation. You start there. Step two, build your email list. Step three, get on YouTube, which is organic, Clubhouse, which is organic, TikTok, which is organic, whichever next organic platform works best for you. Or reverse that, what's your nuts about? Go crazy, go to town on it. You're gonna, if you're nuts on it, you're going to figure out every nook and cranny. If you're into marketing, if you're not, then do what some marketer that you connect with recommends that, you know, can get you to the finish line and isn't going to be like some of the marketers that I used to look up to. 50% of the time it works, 50% of the time it doesn't. Find somebody that's going to take you to the finish line. You don't give up, they don't give up, that's the right person, and somebody that's gotten results for other people before. And then just keep building that list, saving it, backing it up on multiple platforms, and keep growing. 10% of whatever you make should be put right back into marketing. Grow, grow, grow.
Definitely. That is excellent advice. And you talk about the importance of using organic platforms. You talked about LinkedIn, then build the list, and then YouTube, and then so forth and whatnot. And obviously you want to back up. You know, the leads are like the lifeblood. And you want to not just have it in one place. It reminds you of the saying, don't put all your eggs in one basket, so to speak.
Yes, exactly.
And, you know, social media, and social media is always changing. You know, years ago, MySpace was a big deal. I doubt young people even know what MySpace is now. And obviously Facebook was a lot different, you know, back then than it is now. So things change, and obviously the rules can change, algorithms change, so you always have to stay on top of this. I think you said before the only thing that's consistent is that things will change, and I believe that to be definitely true. And I'm curious, now, obviously, I know you're not a psychic or whatnot, but where do you see things going in the future with LinkedIn and lead generation in general, and where do you see yourself in that future?
Well, I see myself as kind of building the plane, and my clients are a step behind me. So I'm building the solution. We're scaling right now. So we recently hired salespeople and are growing our team, where it was pretty much just me and a virtual assistant for a while. So we're scaling now. We're looking for more of a group coaching business model. We do have Done For You as well. But I see myself as the person to test and refine the strategies that I'm building brands and people that will then have that income that they may want to scale as well. So I can get people to a certain point, and they may not need more. But if they do need more, then I'm actively in it, building my business off of those same systems, testing, refining, that then I can be a trusted resource where people have they know, like, and trust, they've tested it, they've seen it, that it works, and then they are going off of my experience so that they don't have to reinvent the wheel for themselves. where I see LinkedIn changing, the best, closest platform that we can match it to is Facebook. In regards to, you can post and get seen, and people that were very well known, and then less and less, people started complaining more and more, my audience isn't getting my content anymore. Okay, when somebody complains about that, that means that they were an idiot and they didn't create their email list, right?
Yeah.
You don't own your platform. You don't own your platform. You don't own your page. You can get wiped out in an instant. There was a Beachbody coach, which I think MLMs go against the terms of service on Facebook in some way. So this person had 500 people in her group on Facebook. Guess who didn't back up her list? And guess who lost her entire group? And guess who lost her entire business? So I think she got like 10% of them back when she tried to. So same thing in regards to a platform where people are posting content and they're getting seen and all these great things are happening now on LinkedIn. LinkedIn is going to allow, as people start to get their act together, getting on the platform, they have enough content. People are going to get their brand seen less and less over time. I see it probably happening in a 5-year period because really they don't have their act together. I'm like, I'm on Microsoft. My background's IBM, so I'm a little bit prejudiced. There's a little bit of tension between IBM and Microsoft. Well, LinkedIn's Microsoft now, right? So they do have a technology strength, so to speak. And people are getting about the networking thing, so they're heading over there. But it's gonna, I think it's gonna take a little bit longer for them to start pushing everybody over to LinkedIn ads, where Facebook pushed everybody to Facebook ads, right? I posted a bowl of pineapple sorbet on Facebook, I think in 2013, and I got 200 people engaged on that post. Right now, literally, my grandma wouldn't see it unless I paid to boost that post, right? Wow. I could get maybe 30 people to see a post if I spend $10. So LinkedIn's absolutely going to go that way too. Now, right now, LinkedIn's is absolutely not as dialed in as Facebook as far as the cost per lead. So if somebody's going over to LinkedIn right now to do ads, everybody's recommending against it. There's almost nobody knows how to do it cost effectively. And organically, you're just going to do so well that it just doesn't even make sense. Now, if you're a major corporation and you don't have a strategy for individual people to market on the platform, then you're forced into doing ads, and that's fine. But ads are just not where it's at right now on LinkedIn from the perspective of the solopreneur, the smaller business. If you've got a team of salespeople, it's recommended that those salespeople are networking from their own pages because, again, people like to do business with people much more so than businesses. And that's why when you look at a Facebook, if you have your Facebook personal page, the algorithm's going to allow you as a person to get seen more. So Facebook doesn't allow you to generate business from a personal page. It goes against their terms of service. But people do try to, as long as they can, just simply because the algorithms are always going to give a personal page more of a boost because that's good for their platform because people like to engage with people, not businesses. So should you be posting from a business page on LinkedIn? It's okay, but is it going to do anything for you? Not like posting from your personal page. Well, that same content from your personal page, when you're reaching out and connecting to people, you're getting back in front of those leads. The value is in the networking, in the relationship, in the person-to-person, the thing that we can't do because of COVID. That's how you do it online. How do you take what worked in person? You went to these networking events. You connected with these people. Bring it online and scale it.
Definitely. Then that's amazing advice. And so you talked about how in the future you see your firm scaling and doing more group coaching and group teaching, which is amazing. And you talked about how LinkedIn is closely connected to Facebook. So if we want to know where LinkedIn's going in the future, we have to look at where Facebook sort of is right now, roughly. And obviously, in the future with LinkedIn, you may have to pay to see to boost posts for people to see it. And you mentioned that example about how you'd posted something and got 200 people. Now it's a little different now. And you talked about the importance of how people need to own a list, because platforms can change, you can get thrown off, and you want to have that list. That list is yours. You know, the platforms, pages, they and you know, information you have on there is not yours. It can be taken away. So people have to have that backup, so to speak. And you talked about how it's important to engage from your personal page, not from the business page. This is what I think these platforms want to see. And so people have to be mindful of that and to do that. So thank you so much for that critical advice. And I'm wondering now, obviously, there are a lot of firms out there that I guess folks can go to when it comes to help on LinkedIn and to get leads that they love, you know, on LinkedIn. How does your firm stand out? Now, you talked about it before, how you do things differently and more effectively, but is there anything else we should know? What is your guys's competitive advantage?
Well, basically, I'm looking at what people are loving about working with you. So we're doing market research from the perspective of what is your ideal client saying about you, what words resonate with them, and I'm helping you to shine with your individuality. Where a lot of marketing companies might say that they specialize in a specific niche, and they have sort of a template and a machine that they run you through, that then 50% of the time it works, 50% of the time it doesn't, 80% of the time it works, 20% of the time it doesn't. I'm getting people to the finish line. So I've got a client, Jill. She shows up in my recommendation section that you mentioned earlier. She got a 275 times ROI. Jill, we got her, we got her set up. She's getting 20 appointments. She's so excited. She got on those 20 calls. She called me, and she was so depressed because she couldn't get one of them to convert to a client. So now, do I offer sales training? No, I'm a LinkedIn lead generation person. I'm setting up your system, but my background is sales, and I've been through it before. So what I did was I created a module based on something that I taught to an SEO company that they three times their numbers. And it's that tying back to that conversation we had earlier about mindset. There's a little bit of meditation and breathing with it. There's a video that I like. It's Abraham Hicks on YouTube, which has a breathe in and out, off-tempo music, and then guided meditation just for general stuff. So what that does is it gives your brain a break when you're completely freaking out and you're not present with your leads, right? I've got clients that they can't even be present in the inbox. I'm training people in their inbox because somebody says, "Hey, can you send me more information?" And they say, "Well, the best thing to do is to get on a call." Hey, I didn't ask for a call. I asked for more information. If you can't even show up in this conversation helping me with what I'm asking for, what's it going to be like to be a client? So that person's burning through leads like crazy. So I've got a reply tracker, the best responses to get somebody onto a call. I'm coaching people that are losing their way because they're so obsessed with getting on a call that they're not even present to that conversation. And with Julie, I created that little sales module. It's just a couple of tips. It's a little bit of breathing. It's a little bit of free sales advice from Jordan Belfort, Wolf of Wall Street on YouTube. You can get all this stuff for free. And then when I created that little tiny sales module for her, she disappeared. 3 months later, she said, "I'm so sorry, I ghosted you. I have six new clients and I've been so busy." I'm, congratulations. And then I circled back a year later. She's like, oh, well, you know, I could only get 9 clients a year, and I thought I was going to have to close that business. Now I'm on track for, I've closed 55 clients this year, she told
me. Wow.
I can get 5 clients a month, and I've got that system set up to do it. And I'm on track for 60 this year. So she went from 30K to close to 200K in a year. Well, I set up that whole thing for her, and it was brilliant, and it was working, but she couldn't get it to convert. So the difference is that I actually care about my clients, and I'm getting them to the finish line. Because it's not just about me getting their, you know, some automation tool money that these people, they don't care about burning through people's accounts. It's not that I'm just trying to get, you know, income from setting up a system for somebody. I'm trying to get people results. So that's what I care about, is getting the results. And what that does is it helps me to dial in my strategy more and more and more. We're noticing that people used to be responsive to general pitch messages, but now it's more relationship-based, so we're altering our strategy that way. So we're listening, we're using the system for our own agency. We've got multiple people going through this process. We're constantly refining and improving. And then we are layering on pieces to protect businesses for the long term. So it's coming from the perspective of caring and feeling like you have a friend on your journey, kind of a thing.
Wow.
Is the feedback that I get from clients. Yeah.
That's incredible. So you give them that personal touch. You actually care, and you go that extra mile. You're not just trying to get them on a call. And I think clients can smell that. We talked about how clients can smell desperation. I think clients can smell authenticity. And you know, they can understand if someone cares about them. You gave essentially Jill advice on sales. So she can convert, which you didn't have to do, but you did. You got her to the finish line, and she came back to and said, hey, I'm doing really, really well. And I think that's an incredible story. You know, and you also talked about how you stay on top of, you know, the changes and the rules. You understand what's going on and whatnot. And so they can be above board while clients operate on LinkedIn. And so that's amazing. And, you know, and I think anyone working with you would be making a great decision. I think I spoke with one gentleman I had as a guest on the show who first told me about you, and he told me about how you helped him to be real, real successful. And he's a major player on LinkedIn. I guess you know who I'm talking about. And we're very good friends and whatnot. And he's an incredible individual. So I wanted to go ahead and thank you for being a guest on the show. I'm curious now, we've talked a lot about LinkedIn and obviously getting leads and other strategies and platforms here and there. What important life lessons would you give to folks in general? And this is for folks who are entrepreneurs or maybe non-entrepreneurs as well. What has helped you to succeed in life?
Well, I just wanted to also thank Marshall Adler, was a person that connected us, and he's a phenomenal search engine optimization person. So SEO for lead generation, if somebody has a local business, he's quite talented in that area. Life lessons, I would say, I'm not sure what I would say for a life lesson. I think I'm always trying to learn and improve in all ways. But I would say one tool that I use is meditation practice. So keeping that mindset where, you know, when things are stressful, you look at these top producers, earners, top people in society, they're all talking about meditation. And I know it's super boring, but you look at someone like Oprah, and you look at all these different people, they all are focusing in one way or another on getting their head on straight. And I've heard it likened to, you know, if you're in a race car and you're staring at the tree, you're going to hit the tree. Look away from the tree. And so just having some sort of a breathing practice or a, you know, walking at lunch to clear your head practice or a you know,
right.
dancing or creating art, whatever your form of meditation is, where you're in your happy space, you're clearing your mind, is super important.
Right.
I when I was in inside sales in the stick your corn cob up your you know what place, all of the people in on that floor, I mean, they were. When I was hired in that role, the person who hired me said, "Are you sure you want to work here?" Because there were some sketchy people there. I mean, some cord cobs did need to be stuck in certain places, right? But I loved what I was selling, and I just wanted the leads to come in, and I wanted to do that from the perspective of helping people. So those people that you sort of think of them as a little bit on the sketchy side, they knew mindset was important too. But they would be doing things like maybe drinking a Red Bull or something like that, right? You've got to get, when you're having a conversation with someone, you want to have a smile on your face. You want to have a you know, sit up tall, stand up tall posture. It shares a different kind of energy when you're connecting with somebody, and mindset's the same thing. I mean, when I was in that position, I started my meditation practice. I started to test it, and I just went for a walk at lunch, and I put my earbuds in, and I would listen to something on YouTube I would find for free. And my numbers, I was in the top 20%. I started hitting the top number one person. So I went from a 200 person floor. I was in the top 20%, and then I jumped up to number one position. Number one, two, three, one, two, three, like that. I started to do the meditation. So when you can instantly see your wallet be affected by meditation, you have really good feedback that this could probably help in some other areas as well. So if I'm ever, you know, if things are getting a little bit weird, or I accidentally allow somebody to be my client that, you know, is not somebody that I think is good, a good fit energy-wise, I have to protect myself. You know, the people that I bring in and I help, I accept good people that are doing good things. I'm not going to, you know, put the Hitlers of the world out there to do horrible marketing and steal from people, right? I'm growing a network of people that are out there helping more people in whatever. I had a conversation with this woman today, and her goal is to help women to scale. I'm sure she would help men too, but basically what she's finding is a lot of burnt out women. So these women, she's scaling them to seven figures, but they're burnt out and not enjoying their life. Well, if she's able to heal and help people to grow their income and also be happy humans, I mean, they're all the people that they're helping in their job and their family, all of those people are better for it. Those are the kinds of people that my clients, you know, get to be picky and choosy. And I've got a client, she was offered to, she's an accent training specialist. She was offered to go to India. She said, "I've done that before." You know, it was a 30-person floor that she was going to help to train with their accents. She's like, I'm lucky enough, Elisa, now that I'm getting so many leads and clients that I get to be picky and choosy and pick the things that are going to support me to, you know, live a great life.
That's amazing. Thank you so much for that advice. And you had mentioned earlier about how important and beneficial meditation is in one of your previous answers. Mm-hmm. That was one of the advice you had given to Jill, which helped her so much. And it's interesting, like I try to meditate myself, but I just have to be more disciplined with it. But, you know, when you see meditation make your wallet fatter, that's definitely a motivation to continue to do it more when you see that's working. And it's interesting that mindset is so important. Now, usually when people talk about mindset, they talk about thinking positively and whatnot and using visualization and affirmations.
Sure.
You were talking more, emphasizing more meditation, which I think is very important, which I think a lot of people overlook. And so many successful people use meditation, like Oprah, you had mentioned. Mm-hmm. And I think Russell Simmons and Paul McCartney does transcendental meditation.
Uh-huh.
So I think there's something to it. So that's amazing advice. And I'm curious, what book recommendations would you give to folks?
You know, I would recommend that people have time to read. I think of reading as something I'm going to do when I retire. And the way that I function with reading is whatever topic is interesting or exciting to me or something that I'm having a challenge with, I'm searching that on YouTube and then finding kind of from a law of attraction, a focus, an affirmations perspective, like you mentioned, is looking for those words so that I can have positive input or like a personal coach while I'm going for my morning walk kind of a thing. So, you know, garbage in, garbage out. My mom's, she just had her second shot for COVID. So, but this whole time she's been watching murder shows, right? So you've got to protect your mind with mindset things. And I think in an affirmation perspective, the kinds of things that you're looking to read, if they're relaxing, that's great, fictional. But, you know, you can double the results for whatever time you're spending. If you're cleaning, you know, the house, if you don't have a budget for people to be helping you with your services, different things, or you're going on your morning walk or you're shopping or whatever, put those earbuds in and do get double duty for whatever time you're spending doing those things. That's how I maximize my time and get coached and things while I'm doing other things. I'm just so knee deep in helping my clients right now that if I was peeling myself away to go read a book, I would feel bad about it. So if I do find a title, I'll put it in my Amazon basket for when I need it later, and then I will do the audio version of it. I'm addicted to marketing and funnels and things like that. So in my inbox on my email, whenever I find a new funnel or book title or something like that that I love, I put it in this file that says funnels that I want. And I don't allow myself to be distracted by sparkly balls. I call it sparkly ball syndrome. You know, this next, latest, coolest, whatever. All that stuff keeps you from getting to the next level, getting to where you want to be. But if your business day and life is set up where you have time for books, I mean, that's a life goal for me, is to just even have time for books that aren't audio. But they also put me to sleep, so that's an issue as well.
My next question was going to be if you wanted to write a book yourself about your life or about anything else. I'm guessing you might hold off on that until you retire.
Yeah, I've had people ask me and mention that I should write a book, but I'm just so busy helping people. I feel like that would take away from that. Where I'm at right now is building systems so that I can help more people. The freedom that I've had with jobs and, you know, jobs just aren't there forever, you know. I found Angus Mitchell, who's a multi-millionaire, and so you think the budget's going to be there to support the things that you want to do forever. No, everyone and every business is an island that needs to take care of itself and do things that are of interest to itself. He launched that salon business and knew it was going to be a 3-year project. I wasn't totally aware of that. I'm glad that I had the opportunity to do that because I specifically was looking for, you know, taking a salon to the highest level, you know, and if you had a budget to do whatever you wanted, it was like the Disneyland opportunity. But was that going to last forever? No. So even worst case scenario, you have the best case scenario, which is an unlimited budget. Are you going to have that job forever? No. Things change. So if you can be the driver of your own ship and your own island, I mean, if you're lucky enough to have a source of leads, to have a way that you help people that people are responding positively for, that is me helping as many people to be able to support their own way in how they help people. And that's where the planet is changing, is people are going away. There's just not, I mean, IBM, when I got there, they were just starting to remove the lifetime employment thing that they had before that, which was a good thing because these people were grandfathered in and they were not productive. So those changes needed to happen. And, you know, the planet is getting more and more where now you can be mobile, you can live wherever you want. You don't have to live in New York City or San Francisco and pay $10 billion for a tear down. So we're getting lots of freedoms and, you know, we're going from horse and buggy days to we're moving on. So, I'm very excited to help people get that freedom. You know, I had a grandmother and mother that were sick in and out of the hospital, and I was able to 4 times my business in a year off of LinkedIn.
Wow.
So for me to be able to help other people and other businesses to grow and to support themselves and, you know, have life-changing experiences and freedoms, like Jill Diamond, she was the accent training expert. She was getting ready to get rid of that 20-year business, but she just didn't know how she was going to fill it with clients anymore. So now she's got a steady source of leads and clients. She's created a group coaching environment. That's freedom. So helping people to get up and on their feet and get to these freedom areas, it's a little bit of a thought change. You know, you're not depending on these old business structures anymore, lifetime employment, or just expecting someone to have a retirement that they don't steal from you because the business got sold and who knows what else. Being able to have that kind of freedom, it is life-changing. So I'm happy to help as many people as I can in the short period of time that we have. Yeah.
That's amazing. And I can feel the passion in your voice. And you definitely exemplify that spirit of generosity and benevolence. And you certainly have helped me. You gave me some advice and a book recommendation. You know, when I told you I was involved with, you know, network marketing and whatnot. And the book was amazing. And so thank you so much for that. And this is the time when I usually mention to the guests if they want to start or create their own podcast. I'm guessing that may not be in the cards for, as of right now, but I think you'd make a great podcast host, just so
you know.
Thank you. yeah, definitely. And, you know, Seth Godin, who's like a big marketing guru, who's like bald-headed, wears glasses, he says everyone should have a podcast. And that, like, you know who he is, and he says that, like, podcast is the new blogging. And I think when I had Marshall on as a guest, he also started his own podcast very, very briefly. So I was able to inspire him to do that.
Great.
Yeah, and which is amazing. And apparently also inspired him to write his own book. So he's in the process of doing that. Yeah, and I'm definitely going to be buying the book and listening when the book comes out and whatnot. So, and when I told him I was going to have you on as a guest, he was very excited. He was like, you better treat her well. You know, she helped me out a lot. So, and I told him that I would treat you like a queen, and I hope you feel that you've been treated that way. And
Thank
he was like,
you
better not interrupt her and whatnot. I was like, don't worry, I'm going to be real, real nice. And so, but, but it goes to, you know, he feels very strongly about you because you helped him out so much, and you've helped out so many others with their business and whatnot. So I totally get it. Now, totally understand why. You're an amazing individual, and you should be treated very well, of course.
Thank you.
So, you got it. And so, I'm curious, can you go ahead and describe all the ways people can get in touch with you if they want to use or know someone who can use your services, or if they want to put a dynamic center of influence in their network?
Yes. So, my brand, it's Elisa. It's E-L-I-S-A. And then the middle initial is B as in boy, and then another B as in boy, E-N-N-E-T-T. Bennett.com, Elisa B. Bennett on LinkedIn. And on my website, ElisaBBennett.com, is a pop-up, the freebie you mentioned, that will help anybody on any platform create content that attracts their ideal clients. So anybody who's writing anything about anything on any platform,
right,
it's my clients after we go through this, the process, they're updating right. their website based on this. They're creating content that they're posting based on this. So I have the instruction is based on the top of your LinkedIn page for a mini makeover on your profile that people, by the way, have gotten your speaking gigs in D.C. Mm. I've got a woman, she was pitched her own television show. I've got a guy that got a five-figure deal just after this little free mini makeover thing. It's quite powerful. It's my most it's unique to me. Mm. And so
wow.
it's my most powerful content that I'm giving away for free right out of the gate. And it is going to help a lot of people, even if they feel like LinkedIn isn't the right place for them or it's not the right time. It's good to just start thinking this way. And then, you know, if there's some sort of synergy or fit, you know, take a screenshot of whatever you've done and I'm happy to review it with people. So alisabbennett.com.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for that. And that information will be listed in the episode description box so people can see it and read it there. Okay.
Thank you.
And you got it. And it's amazing how you get these results for people. Like a three-minute mini makeover, and they got, you know, these people got these kind of gigs. That's a TV show and it's a speaking gig. Wow.
Yeah, so it's common. People are not, they don't have their act together on the platform because it's set up as a job search platform, which what that does is it makes us speak about our accomplishments. This is my title. This is what I've done. This is my experience. That's great for getting a job, but it's a snooze fest for people like you and I who help people. People want to know what's going to be the benefit of being in our world. How do you help me? And if we can clearly communicate how we help people, then we've got 3 to 5 seconds to do that. Then people will take the next step. So, yes, it's even just that free five-step system. People have done it in 5 days. People have gotten some great results over and over again.
Wow. That's amazing. That's incredible. And so definitely that's something I'm interested in. I'm sure many people in the audience are as well. So I wanted to go ahead. I wanted to go ahead and thank you for being a guest on the show. It's been definitely been enlightening.
And
you got it. Educational and entertaining discussion. And I'm sure the audience feels the same way. Thank you to everyone who is listening. And I was going to go ahead and give you the last word or the final send-off. Is there anything else you want to mention?
No, I just love your long-form podcast. It is very inspiring. I feel like there's you know, you see those 2-3 hour podcasts and you're like, what's the deal? But for the people that are interested in the topic, I mean, just like I said, you've got to get through the noise in 3 to 5 seconds to get somebody's attention. But once you've got it, if you can go deep, it's very inspirational how you do the longer show. I know a lot of people are just doing little 30-minute things, which is great too. But for those people that are interested in your topic, then it gives enough time for it to be fully examined. So
right.
It's an inspirational format.
Thank you so much for that feedback. I've gotten criticism for the long episodes, by the way. And, you know, I always tell people Joe Rogan, he has the number one podcast in the world, signed a $100 million deal with Spotify. His show is 3 hours long. So.
$100 million, don't lie.
Yeah, and number one in the world. So, you know, it may not matter so much the length, and I think a lot of people appreciate the long episode because, you know, you're talking with guests and they're talking about themselves and what they're passionate about. And, you know, obviously you want to go in depth. You don't want to rush anyone off the phone or whatnot or off the show. So thank you so much for that and really appreciate it. And thank you for coming on as a guest, and thank you to the audience. I'm going to see you guys in the next episode. Everyone, have a blessed and wonderful day. Thank you so much. Take care and goodbye. Hey, guys, before you go, just real quick, if you can just do me a favor, if you can head over to the Apple Podcasts app, and if you're not there already, and if you can leave me a 5-star review, that'd be great. If you love the show, if you can just go ahead and do that, and that will help to spread the word about the show, and other people can enjoy the show as much as you do. And so if you can do that, that would mean the world to me. And also, if you want to email me with any feedback or any praise or support, please feel free to go ahead and do that. And you can also email me to request to be put on our email list. We can send you out emails when new episodes come out. So thank you very much for being a fan of the show. Thank you for listening to the show and supporting the show. So if you can do that, go out and give us a 5-star review on the Apple Podcast app. That would be great. And if you can email us so we can put you on the email list and email us with feedback and praise, that'd be amazing. Thank you so much, and I'll see you guys in the next episode. Take care. Bye-bye.